Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Preemption Under the Natural Gas Act Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 12, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in One Oak v. Learjet. The question in this case is whether the Natural Gas Act, which gives the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission jurisdiction to regulate natural gas sales in interstate commerce for resale or wholesale sales, preempts state law antitrust claims which challenge industry practices that directly affect the wholesale natural gas market when those claims are asserted by litigants who purchase gas in retail transactions. To discuss the case, we have Daniel Lyons, who is an associate professor of law at the Boston College Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Lyons.
In One Oak versus Learjet, the court will decide the scope of federal preemption under the Natural Gas Act. The question presented is whether the Natural Gas Act preempts state law claims challenging industry practices that directly affect the wholesale natural gas market when those claims are asserted by litigants who purchase gas in retail transactions. As energy trading has grown more complex, lower courts have struggled to find the jurisdictional boundary between the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is the primary federal regulator in this area, and state law regulators. So the court's answer will help guide these inquiries going forward, and it may also offer some guidance as to the scope of preemption vis-a-vis similar statutes involving dual federalism in highly regulated areas of the economy. The case arises out of trading practices during the 2000 to 2002 energy crisis. One Oak and other petitioners are natural gas traders. Plaintiff respondents allege that during the crisis, the petitioners manipulated the natural gas market in two ways. First, by reporting false data to Gas Daily and Inside FERC, which are the two daily trading publications whose pricing surveys help serve as reference points for market prices in the natural gas market. And secondly, by engaging in so-called wash sales, which were prearranged sales whereby traders agreed to execute a buy or a sell on an electronic market trading platform, and then immediately offset with an equal and opposite buy or sell over the telephone. In 2005, respondents who are purchasers of natural gas at retail filed suit alleging that these practices violated various state antitrust laws. The cases were consolidated in the district court in Nevada, which granted petitioners motion for summary judgment on the grounds that the state law antitrust claims were preempted by the Natural Gas Act. The Natural Gas Act attempts to create separate spheres for federal and state regulation within the natural gas industry. In Section 1B, the Act gives FERC jurisdiction to regulate in three basic areas. One, the transportation of natural gas in interstate commerce. Two, wholesale natural gas sales. And three, natural gas companies that are engaged in interstate transportation or wholesale sale. Now, courts have traditionally interpreted this language very broadly, suggesting that FERC has significant authority to regulate in this area. But Section 1B also contains a savings clause. The Act expressly does not cover any other transportation or sale of natural gas, local distribution, or the production or gathering of natural gas. So like some other public utility statutes, the Natural Gas Act attempts to divide the regulatory world into interstate or wholesale operations, which are under FERC jurisdiction, and retail sales, which remain under the purview of the states. So the question is, who has jurisdiction over conduct which, as here, affects both wholesale jurisdictional and retail non-jurisdictional markets? The district court found the answer in another part of the Act, Section 5A. This provision gives FERC authority over any rule, regulation, practice, or contract affecting FERC jurisdictional rates. So the court read this section very broadly. It reasoned that because defendants' practices affected both wholesale prices within FERC's jurisdiction and retail prices outside FERC's jurisdiction, any manipulation resulting from those prices fell within FERC's exclusive jurisdiction, and therefore plaintiffs' antitrust claims were preempted. The Ninth Circuit reversed, finding that FERC's Section 5 authority over any practice affecting FERC jurisdictional wholesale sales did not preempt claims involving non-jurisdictional retail sales. So the Circuit Court began by emphasizing the presumption against preemption, right? The assumption of the historic police powers of the states are not superseded by federal statute unless that's the clear and manifest purpose of Congress. And the court explained that this presumption should apply with particular effect given Congress's deliberate efforts to preserve traditional areas of state regulation within the natural gas industry. With this presumption in mind, the Ninth Circuit held that FERC's Section 5 power must be read in conjunction with Section 1B, which expressly limits FERC's jurisdiction to interstate transportation and wholesale sales, and preserves state authority to regulate retail sales. The court held that Section 1B shows congressional intent to cabin FERC's authority, and it has to be understood as cabining FERC's Section 5 authority as well, to apply only to those jurisdictional sales that fall under Section 1B. Otherwise, said the court, FERC might use its Section 5 authority to reach retail sales that Section 1B places clearly outside its authority. Now, in brief and at oral argument, One Oak pressed a very broad field preemption argument. The purpose of the Natural Gas Act, petitioners argue, is to provide a uniform and consistent regulation of the natural gas industry. One Oak emphasized that a broad reading of FERC's Section 5 authority would not allow the agency to regulate all retail sales, as the Ninth Circuit feared, because that would expressly violate Section 1B. It would instead, they argue, only reach practices that, quote, directly affect wholesale transactions that are within its Section 1B authority. To find otherwise, One Oak argues, would apply state antitrust law in ways that could create different liability under different states' rules. That could result in inconsistent results and potentially conflict with the uniformity that Congress sought through the Natural Gas Act. And the federal government filed an amicus brief emphasizing these arguments. In response, Learjet emphasizes the Section 1B Savings Clause, as the Ninth Circuit did. Respondents argue that the existence of state antitrust enforcement does not conflict with FERC authority. It noted that there's nothing in the Natural Gas Act that shows an intent by Congress to displace antitrust law. And the federal government agreed that federal antitrust claims are arguably permissible under the Act. At most, Learjet notes, state authority shows the potential for a conflict, but potential alone is insufficient for the broad preemption finding that One Oak seeks. Now, also interesting is the role being played by subsequent developments in this area. One Oak has pointed to a 2003 code of conduct promulgated by FERC that prohibits the type of market manipulation at issue in this case. So One Oak points to this 2003 code of conduct as evidence that FERC had authority to regulate these practices during the time of the energy crisis, and therefore that Section 5 applies to the conduct at issue and preempts the state law claims. The Ninth Circuit had rejected this argument, reading the code of conduct to apply only to jurisdictional sales and therefore saying it's consistent with the Ninth Circuit's opinion that Section 5 would not preempt allegations regarding non-jurisdictional sales. Now, Learjet and the Ninth Circuit both pointed instead to the Energy Policy Act of 2005, in which Congress gave FERC explicit authority to make rules addressing market manipulation. If we presume that Congress does not act superfluously, this would suggest that FERC lacked the authority prior to the 2005 Energy Policy Act, which would mean they could not regulate the conduct it issued during the 2000-2002 energy crisis. The question of whether FERC could have regulated this behavior at the time of the crisis was a key question at oral argument, especially by Justice Breyer. Now, the argument was tough, and predictions are always difficult, right? On the one hand, as One Oak's counsel noted, the court has generally been moving in the direction of greater preemption in recent cases. One Oak's counsel noted in particular a recent decision involving the Locomotive Inspection Act and emphasized that with FERC in particular, the court has a bent toward finding preemption in exclusive jurisdiction. On the other hand, the justices seem to ask more and more searching questions of One Oak than they did of Learjet. This could indicate they're skeptical of the broad field preemption argument, but on the other hand, it may not. Justice Kennedy seemed to seek a middle ground, asking whether there's a case here for a conflict preemption, not as broad as One Oak was seeking, and One Oak conceded that if the court ended up going in that direction, it would have to address that issue on remand if necessary.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.